Malcolm and Elizabeth, would you like to come up for a moment? I know, Malcolm, you're not sharing, but it'd just be good to say hello to you as well. This might as well embarrass everyone, haven't we? So this is Malcolm. Hopefully most of us here know who Malcolm is by now. He's been around for a little while. My favourite things about Malcolm, I think, are juggling with things set on fire. That's one. Potholing, you've not told people too much about that one. Running, you're a good runner as well. And I think when we were at Georgium, you ran all the way down to the beach at Croyd. And then you had a swim, and then you ran all the way back to the house. And that's before anybody else got out to bed. So that's just a couple of things about Malcolm. I just wanted to get you up so there's this obvious connection of who these two people are, father and daughter. I've got that right, am I? You can sit down now. That is your embarrassment. That's good. Okay. Are you all right just with this mic?
Sure.
Okay, I'll leave you to it.
Okay. Some of you may have known me about 25 years ago. We did used to come to evening services at Welton when it was in the chapel, because I grew up in Oak Hill. So I don't know how many of you were there in those days. I was. So if you remember, great. But I'm going to be telling you about the things I've been doing in between then and now. Have we got any pictures? It's loading. I'll start off, shall I? So I work with the mission Serving in Mission, SIM, which you may know as Sudan Interior Mission, or you may not know. And they work all over the world, but I work with them in Peru. So there we are, there's me. And if we have the next picture, I work with water. So I like to say I work with both kinds of water. Helping give people improved access to clean water, but also help giving people improved access to living water. So visiting people, assessing their situation as regards water supply, and seeing what I can do to help with that, but also supporting the church and helping to spread the gospel. And there are lots of parallels, actually, between physical water and spiritual water that can help people understand a bit more about the gospel. So I studied civil engineering at university. Graduating from university, I worked for a church in London for a couple of years. That's the many hands you can see at the top. It was a youth group. And that was just to get some skills, not only in the engineering, but also in the church work. I had a job in the UK for several years in an engineering consultancy, working with flooding and building water reservoirs and dealing with sewage. But had some overseas short-term experience as well. And you can see some more problems with flooding, some water tanks and dealing with sewage, but it all looks rather different. And then I studied at Redcliffe Mission College in Gloucester for a year before going to Peru. And the next slide is showing you where Peru is, in case you've forgotten, over there on the west coast of South America. And Peru essentially consists of a coastal strip, the Andes Mountains and the jungle. And I work down there in the south, in the Andes, in a region called Apurimac, and I live in the city of Abancay. Peru was colonised by the Spanish. So the closer to the coast you get, the more Spanish culture and Catholic religion and Spanish language you get. And the further inland you go, the more that gets mixed with indigenous. So where I live in the mountains, it's about half and half Spanish language and Quechua language, Catholic culture and animism culture, and a total mix, but very little evangelical Christianity. Next one. So the region I work in is called Apurimac, and that's a Quechua word. It's actually two Quechua words. Apu, meaning God, and Rimac, meaning somebody who speaks. So you put the two together, and the region means God who speaks. And the people who named it won't have been thinking of the all-powerful God. They'll have been thinking of their mountain spirits, but it's very inspiring to me that that's the name of the region I work in. And my prayer is that God will speak not only to me through the glory of the mountains, but also through my words and my actions. So I live in the town of Abancay, which is the capital of the region, and it's surrounded by these mountains and the villages around up to about 4 hours journey away are where I work. And I work with the Quechua people, that's the indigenous race. And so SIM is serving in mission, that's my sending mission. Work with the Quechua people. And IDEA is a local organization made up of three churches in the city. And they're involved in Bible translation projects, training rural pastors, supporting rural churches. And I travel with them, go to the places they work and see what I can do to help with water. And this is the usual situation with water in these villages. So each household might have one outdoor tap, a fairly good supply of water coming from a spring up in the mountains, but it won't be clean water, it will be contaminated, and most people live most of their lives with some kind of intestinal parasite and associated illness. I'll carry on back to the other one. And this would be a typical toilet. Some villages wouldn't have any at all, some villages would have something better than that, but that would be a typical situation. And then for laundry, they would divert a small stream and also use that water for irrigation for their crops, and they're mostly arable farmers. Okay, now we can have the next one. So I went in September of 2014, and I tried to spend my first year really studying the situation, travelling with IDEA, finding out what they do, what the needs are in the villages, but also finding out what the other organisations are working with water. And there was a diploma course at the local university run by the government, which I enrolled on and studied. And it was really helpful for getting to know people, getting to know the situation. And what I discovered was that the government has a budget, has projects, is constructing water systems in these rural villages. But what they're not doing is giving the training and the education that needs to go alongside that. Because if you have a marvellous new water system and nobody in the village understands how to look after it, or anything about hygiene and washing their hands, for example, then everyone in the village can still be ill. But if all you have is water from a stream, but everybody has a really good understanding of water hygiene and how to look after their water, then they can still be healthy. So education and teaching is really, really important. So that's what I've been doing, giving health-related water teaching to children, to parents, to churches, to government workers, to anybody who will listen. Talking about using glitter to show how easily germs are passed on from hand to hand and how hard they are to wash off. Talking about how parasites are passed on from one person to another. Talking about nutrition and the different food groups necessary because parasites also are connected with malnutrition. And always games to keep people awake and interested because after a day working in the fields, they're extremely tired. So I've been doing that. I've also been supporting local water boards. So in the city, the water system is run by a company, like here it's run by Bristol Water, if that's still what it's called. But in the villages, it's a very small system with just a 3 metre by 3 metre water tank, and the village have to manage it themselves. And they're not necessarily trained in how to do that. So I've been, again, giving some training to these local water boards, helping them to understand what maintenance is needed on their water system, how to do that maintenance, how to plan make a plan of work for the year's maintenance and produce a budget for it, and also talking to the village as a whole about why this work is important, to try and convince them to actually pay up for their water so that that maintenance can be done. And then, of course, as I said, I go with this church organisation IDEA. So also a lot of the work is supporting local churches. And there's a great variety of churches. Some, this one in this bottom corner, quite established, now have their own building, are sending people to evangelise in other communities. And this one in the opposite bottom corner, which isn't really even a church yet, one man from IDEA has been visiting for a year, and this lady in the wheelchair has been very receptive and enthusiastic, and slowly her daughter and her grandsons have come to believe And some of her neighbours are starting to come and listen, but very much the birth of something new, as opposed to the other end of the scale, something continuing. So it's a really exciting work to be involved in. And then the last thing I did before I came back in April was to do a training day for local nurses and government workers to pass on the resources and the activities that I've been using in the teaching. So these are people who already know about water hygiene and the importance of it. So I wasn't teaching them that, but I was passing on resources and teaching methods. And that was really encouraging and really well attended. And this last photo here is one of the nurses who was on the course using one of those activities a couple of weeks later. I got sent that while I was back in England. And she's not only using it, she's even improved it and made these little cardboard parasites to show people what it is that can go wrong with them. So that was really exciting. And I shall be going back again in September for another 3 years and probably another 3 years after that. And the plan is to carry on developing those teaching materials and passing those on in more training days, and perhaps starting to employ people on a short-term basis to start with, but in the end, so that somebody else can manage this whole ministry and I can no longer be a necessary part of it. I'm also trying out some simple water filters so that people can treat the water in their own house to make it safe to drink. And depending on how those trials go, I may do some projects to install those filters in a village in the next few years. I'm looking to buy a car and change the way I travel to focus in on just a small number of villages, really build some relationships with those and be a bit more efficient, because at the moment I travel a lot, but it would be to travel once and then to travel back. And then, of course, there's always lots of uncertainty. The plans I made 3 years ago, some things I've seen happen and some things I've thought, oh, no, actually, that wasn't the right thing to expect in the end. So there's lots of inquiring of God and also trusting of God needed. So essentially, it would be great to have your prayers. Pray for those who are using the training material. It's not two separate things of teaching about clean water and teaching about living water. It's all incorporated together. So pray for that teaching. Pray that God would send more workers, because there are so many villages that haven't heard the gospel. And when they do, they're so hungry to hear more. But it's very difficult to get to them. And so a lot more people are needed. Pray for prayer. The work is all backed up by people in the UK praying for what's happening. And so I'm trying to recruit people for that. And while I'm in England, I'm travelling around updating people on what I've been doing. Some churches, some friends. Next week I shall be visiting my old engineering office and talking to them about the work, which I'm really excited about. And spending time with my family, which I'm doing this week back in Somerset. And then for when I go back again, you can pray that I make progress with learning the indigenous language and planning future projects, what I should be doing for the next 3 years, and ultimately that God would speak.
What's the indigenous language? How do you say that word?
That's Quechua.
Oh, Quechua, that's not so bad. I was looking at that thinking that I couldn't even say the word, let alone learn language. That's good. has anybody got any questions that I'd like to ask Lizzie before we pray together? Anyway, yeah, Jill, do you want to shout it out?
Are there any sort of restrictions on you speaking about God or the Christian
faith, also from the government or anybody in the communities? So the question is, are there any restrictions on you sharing your faith in the communities?
The government officially doesn't support any specific religion. In practice, there is quite a strong Catholicism, but not genuine Catholicism, just a sort of superstitious mix. So depending on how strong that is in each location, there might be opposition. We have had a village that had a particularly famous statue of the Virgin Mary, which had essentially become their idol. welcomed us at first, but after a few weeks when they realised we really were preaching something different, then I wasn't there. But the group were threatened and had to leave if they didn't want rocks thrown at their car. So there can be opposition, but there's also a lot of keenness to hear. And people generally believe in God and believe that the Bible is important and true. They've no idea what's in it, but it's a brilliant starting point that you can go to somebody and open the Bible and tell them what's in it, and they don't sort of take three steps back and say, well, that's a load of rubbish. They're a bit challenged and they listen because they know they need to take it seriously.
Any other questions? Any more? Yeah, go on, Mark. So are you on your own where you are, or have you got a team around you?
There are four SIM missionaries in the city that I live in, and we all work with the same partner organisation. So none of them are British, and I didn't know any of them before I went. And we all have none of them are working in water. They've all got different ministries, but we do all work together.
Okay, any more? Okay, thank you. Malcolm, would you like to come up and pray for Lizzie? Would that be all right? Pray for us, yeah? I think that'd be good. You must be, I know you wouldn't, but you must be quite a proud dad. It's really, really cool.
Heavenly Father, we pray for the work that Elizabeth is doing. Well, we pray that you will fill her with your spirit and give her the ability to hear and follow you and to do the things, to see and do and to succeed in your work. We pray that people will learn hygiene and that part of the blessing of the gospel is to live this life with joy and healthily, but also that she will succeed in passing on your gospel of life and that people will find the living water. And we pray for the next 3 years of the work, for safety in travelling, and for not too much wasted time, that things will work out. In your name, amen.